Hello, and welcome to What's My Tagline? I'm your host, Carol Flagg. Thanks for tuning in today. On this show, we put our microphone in front of a variety of industry experts to understand the factors influencing messaging, branding, and reputation in healthcare. You can follow the conversation on Twitter at hashtag What's My Tagline, and be sure to follow me at Carol Flagg. My guest today is Jared Bort, an Enterprise Relationship Manager at LinkedIn. Jared, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Jared, I'm very excited to be talking to you. I've been on LinkedIn for many, many years, and of course, in my mind, it is the place if you're in the B2B space to engage and connect with different people. So thanks for taking your time today.
Yeah, my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, great. So Jared, before we begin, my first conversation of all my guests is: if you had to describe yourself as a tagline, what would it be?
So this was a tough one, tough question that you put to me, but I think I would go with work in progress, or make it more specific to sort of the tech world, installation incomplete.
Installation incomplete. So you never get a complete installation. You're never fully baked.
Yeah. So my thinking behind it, and so I'm trying to think of a tagline that sort of encompasses my take and I suppose personal view. And I would say that I have a strong belief that we should all be striving to evolve, change, improve ourselves. So from that perspective, we're never really quite there, but that's fine. That means we always have more room to to keep. So I try to, and of course I'm not perfect at this all the time, but I try to generally just figure out what is the way that we I can continue to build upon different things.
This is like a Jared Bort 2.0, Jared Point 2.5.
Right. Yeah, right. So I guess I'm on version 38.0 or 30.5.
Is that your age?
Give it away the old age there. But yeah, that's the flip side to it. I think if you think of yourself as already perfect or complete, then where do you go from there? So that's kind of in its own way. I think I wouldn't want to say depressing, but maybe not the most forward-thinking way to look at life. So yeah, I like the idea that there's always room to improve ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. I might have even tell you what version of Carol Flagg we're on. We're just gonna skip that. So,
and I won't go there.
So, tell our audience a little bit about yourself, and I'm really curious to know how you ended up at LinkedIn, which of course is this incredibly powerful B2B platform for us to engage in, and the business population in general.
Yeah, so I've definitely had a number of past lives working at different industries or different companies. So I'll just give you the short version. I spent about 11 years in Asia. My first job was teaching English in Japan in Sapporo. So maybe some of your listeners know the beer Sapporo. Oh, it is one and the same.
I do. That's all that counts. Yeah. I do.
Exactly. I'm a Sapporo man myself, versus the Asahi. I go with Sapporo. It's the best Japanese beer. But I spent about 4 years there teaching kindergarten. Didn't think I would be there that long, but was really enjoying learning the language, the culture. So then I ended up moving to Tokyo, where there's sort of more opportunities. Through looking for opportunities, I actually went to a recruitment agency in Japan named Robert Walters, very similar to like a Robert Half. Many Americans know that, but this was kind of the British version of that that was strong in Asia. So through that interview process where they were looking to place me at their client partners, they ended up offering me a job, did recruitment for about 2 years, and then I switched over to financial services. So I did private banking with HSBC. This was still in Tokyo. Did that for a couple of years, then I had an opportunity to go to the mothership, which is Hong Kong. So I ended up, and literally, it looks like if the HSBC headquarters in Hong Kong, it's a really unique design. My friend, the name of the architect is actually escaping me right now, but a very famous British guy. So it looks almost like a spaceship in the middle of the city. Was there about a year and a half, came back to the U.S. after that. switched gears again, worked at a human capital consultancy. And I think that was a little bit more directly the tie with LinkedIn. Obviously, there's a connection with talent acquisition and branding and whatnot. So with that consultancy work that I was doing a lot of coaching and doing assessments on executives. So if a company is hiring someone to step into a role, that's a multi-million-dollar decision at the VP or senior leadership level. So we were in there to get sort of an extra pair of eyes on them and make sure that they really had the core competencies required to be successful in that role. And I suppose that brings me to LinkedIn. And LinkedIn, I'm kind of the classic LinkedIn story in a way, or that represents the power of the platform. How I got the role at LinkedIn, I noticed this is actually somebody I met in Sapporo. So go back now. Go back now, 15 years. I had met an Australian by the name of Lee Miller. We just were friends amongst a group of other friends for about that year. She went back to Australia, and then we just always sort of kept in touch, you know, through social platforms. But never really had the opportunity to meet her being in Australia, and then of course me coming back to the U.S. And then I noticed when I was looking for new opportunities, so this is about 3 years ago, I noticed that she had taken a role with LinkedIn in San Francisco as the global head of the referrals program for LinkedIn. So she had actually moved from the Sydney office to the San Francisco office. I reached out and said, "Hey, Lee, how's things going? We had a little catch up." And I said, "By the way, are there any opportunities at LinkedIn you think that would be good for me?" She recommended this role, and here we are today.
Well, so by the way, I just had to Google it. The architect of the HSBC building in Hong Kong is Norman Foster.
That was on the tip of my tongue. I should have just, you know, risked it and gone with it.
Should have risked it. Because, you know.
should have doubled down, yeah.
You know, I tell my family this all the time. You know, Google's either the best thing that ever happened to me or the worst thing that ever happened to me, because I'm like that. I'm like, I'll say something with, like, you know, 100% confidence, and my family's there Googling it like, yep, nope, you were wrong that time, Carol. It's like, oh, darn it.
Yeah. That's why you have to say that, and you have to leave the room quickly before anyone can do that. End it on that note.
So I think it's interesting that you started as a teacher and then kind of moved into this coaching thing, and now you're an enterprise relationship manager with LinkedIn. Those to me are all very synergistic, you know, and say something actually about your style and your personality.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. There's definitely a connection. Clearly, teaching and the job I did where I was doing the coaching are very closely related. And then also the other piece, just being in a, you know, after I was done teaching, I've always been in a sales capacity to one extent or the other. And I think that when you're doing that, at least when you're doing it well, there's a lot of listening that goes involved. There's also a lot of teaching that goes involved in the way the best way to teach people is not to sort of, just repeat yourself or talk down in a way, but to help other people see your point of view through asking questions. So there's sort of like a guiding, a consultative approach would be another way to kind of call that. But that's, I think, yeah, that's definitely helped me throughout the years.
Yeah, and perhaps we can have just like a little teachable moment here for our listening audience. Obviously, I'm very familiar with the LinkedIn B2B as a social media platform. I'm there. I'm on it every single day. I've connected to a lot of people that I've gone on to do business with. But I know that I know people that are actually on LinkedIn, but they're just on there because they think they need to be on there. They don't really use it to engage the way they should. So maybe you could give us just a few minutes of a overview, you know, a little teachable moment here for our audience as to, you know, what LinkedIn actually is and how we should be taking advantage of it as a platform to engage with potential clients and customers. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll answer that in two points. One is, what is LinkedIn? And then what are some ways that maybe we can, if you have a profile but you're not engaging, what are some things you should be considering? LinkedIn is a social media platform, first and foremost. So that means people have profiles and they go to LinkedIn for their own personal reasons, whether it could be, I'm looking to connect with people for networking purposes. I'm looking to do research, so I want to know more about my industry or other industries or other companies. And then there's also this other piece where I'm using it to look for, you know, advance my career, find opportunities. So LinkedIn and social media platform offers all that. And then so, you know, at the end of the day, it's a level of, you know, so people use it for these purposes, and there's engagement that happens on a social media platform off the basis of that. So like any other social media platform, we have to give people a reason to want to use the platform, and that's where the value comes from. The more people we have engaging and using it, then creates more opportunity for people looking to get something out of it. So whether it's marketing, B2B, even B2C, whether it's trying to hire talent for your company, or whether it's trying to, you know, market any other products or services you can imagine, or sell stuff as well. LinkedIn, just really quickly, a step back, LinkedIn has a platform. It's pretty incredible. I think we're now 620 million members worldwide.
Wow.
Yeah. And so when I joined, that was 350 million. So just in the 2.5 years that I've been here, we've gotten close to doubling. So we are continuously ramping up. We're still very much growing quickly. I think that comes out to two members a second sign on to LinkedIn. Here in the U.S., we would call it the penetration of the market is about 85% of the U.S. workforce has a profile. So in this kind of connects to a larger point why LinkedIn's actually here. I think it's a really, you know, inspirational vision that LinkedIn has as a company. It's where we're looking to connect the world, every corner of the world. You know, kind of we're looking to basically create that synergy, connect opportunity with where those skills actually lie. So in a sense, what we hope to be is, I think we have an estimate that, you know, somewhere at some point, like 3.5 billion users would be the you know, the actual workforce of the world. At least I think that's what it would be today if we actually had all of the people that are working age using that. So you can imagine if we ever, you know, reach that level, we would be able to create efficiencies in the world economic output.
Yeah, and I think like any sort of social media platform, it's obviously this is like, my family calls me Captain Obvious, and I'm going to have a Captain Obvious moment here where it's like, it's not just enough to have a profile, right? You just don't put a profile up, yeah, and all of a sudden things will begin happening to your work life. You actually have to engage in the platform itself and start engaging with an audience.
Yes. And this is something that, you know, sort of embarrassing enough working at LinkedIn, it's something that I've only been really personally myself been more active recently. So the key here is engagement. And I think a lot of people don't truly understand sort of the why. Why would you do that? Why would you post? Why would you comment? Why would you like? Why do you share stuff? And the reason is that it's going to, you know, all of these different actions, you don't know how it's going to manifest itself. But all, you know, think of it as a larger community. There's going to be people within this larger community. Probably another analogy that I kind of like to use, just describing how social media works in general, is that these are, you know, each one of your actions is kind of like ripples in a pond, and the collection of them will equal to something larger. It kind of turns into a tidal wave, if you will. So the actions that you're taking and the things you're liking, they are creating opportunities for you. Also, you know, people will, inside your network, like or share it, then people in their network see it. So this is kind of that ripple effect. So of course, if you're adding something to the community in terms of thought leadership, something that's interesting, something that's different, you know, this will stand out and create something of a brand for yourself, and that will lead to opportunity.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to What's My Tagline, and my guest today is Jared Bort of LinkedIn. Jared, that's a great point that you just made. I love that sort of ripple effect. And, you know, the thing about a ripple effect, especially on a pond, is you don't need a huge boulder. A little stone actually will create a ripple effect as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the key is that it's repetition. So, you know, doing something on a daily basis. And the good news is there's actually a growing, so there actually just recently some data came out on our engagement numbers, which have been terrific. So I think it was something in the U.S., 40% of users sign in, I think, at least daily or weekly. I'm forgetting which one at this point. But that's pretty good. And then we also had a 67%, 60% increase year on year. in terms of our engagement. So that's just kind of people doing the things that we're talking about now, right? Liking, sharing, doing things.
Right.
And this is directly tied to actually. So I don't know. Like with any social media platform, I think we've all had our frustration sometimes with how the customer experience, or I should say the user experience over the years. LinkedIn really invested heavily and changed things around, I would say, just about the time I started, where you come in and the newsfeed is really first and foremost.
Yeah. That's been a big change. Yeah.
Yeah. So you sound like you know a little bit what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But our listeners probably don't. So keep on trucking down this road.
when you used to sign into LinkedIn before, it was a little bit clunky. You'd kind of come in and there's like a command center, and you just got lost with sort of all these different areas you could go. And the newsfeed was really the afterthought. And then so somebody had the idea that we should really make the newsfeed the focal point. So when you sign into LinkedIn now, you're going to come in, and then it's going to be the very first piece of content that's served to you. And this is the same for anyone, all 610 million members around the world. Very first piece of content that's served to you is going to be from something that you like or you follow. So if you go in and check right now, it's going to be either a connection, it'll be a company you follow, a group you're in, something to that effect. And then you'll actually notice the very next piece of content is going to be sponsored content. So this is going to be an organization, company, whoever is sponsoring that is specifically looking at you as their audience in that newsfeed to deliver. So that's, and then there's a, then there, then it just kind of goes down after that. So creating that user experience has really helped to drive a lot more engagement. It's become less clunky. And then what's the really other interesting part now is I think the way that the conversation is evolving on LinkedIn, I think it used to be very buttoned down. Let's say uber professional. People weren't really sure how to have these conversations because they weren't sure if this is going to be considered unprofessional or not. And I think now people are starting to see, there's room for humor. There's room to be a little bit more myself. And then not only is there room to do that, but that's actually what's needed. That's part of the authenticity that you need to bring to the engagement on the platform.
Yeah, as in any social media, I think authenticity is the key. I totally agree with that. So let's move sideways here a little bit and talk a little about actually your area of expertise, and which is the talent acquisition part of LinkedIn. Obviously, companies post jobs, people are looking for jobs. Talk to us about that. What do you do for LinkedIn in the talent acquisition arena for clients, healthcare clients?
So my role is to work with my client partner. So as a relationship manager, another word for it would be account manager. My role is to work with client partners to, number one, understand their business and understand what it is that they're looking to accomplish. So really understand sort of those big goals that the company is setting itself for, understand that vision. And then once I have an understanding, then, really be their partner, be proactive in kind of doing one of two things. This is what we have in place today. How can we best optimize this to achieve these goals that you're going for? And then the other side to that is, being proactive, this is what you should be looking at. This is what you should be considering.
When you go out and talk to you're talking to them about you have these jobs to fill, what's the profile of the talent you're looking for? And then how do you use people's profiles on LinkedIn to help reach that audience?
So yeah, that's part of it, but I would say it's almost, at the end of the day, organizations are all united in the respect that the company is a single entity that's looking to accomplish certain things, right? So is that, are we looking to be sold? Are we looking to, IPO? Are we looking to, be at this part of the industry? Or are we looking to be, every company's going to have sort of their own specific goals. So it starts with that. It starts with understanding that. And then when you kind of get to that, then you understand the things that need to happen to get to whatever these, bigger goals are. Then all parts of the business are going to contribute to that. So I work a lot with both marketing teams and HR teams to leverage LinkedIn to, get towards those goals. So a big part of my job is to really help them understand how to harness the power of LinkedIn. because it's not really, it's very unique in the sense that, once again, it's a social media platform. It's not a job board. And so that's a lot of where the education piece comes in, is helping organizations understand what that means. And so inevitably what that means is that you have to put on your marketing cap to really understand how it drives value and how it's going to serve your organization. For example, you brought up, okay, talk about profiles and jobs. So the idea here is that generally when I'm working with clients, it's going to come down to, so just to continue on this marketing example, what we've done is we've taken a very tried and true model, which is the sales and marketing funnel that I'm sure a lot of your listeners will be aware of. But the idea that, you know, if you're selling any kind of product, people have to be aware that it exists. That would be the first step. And then people then have to show some interest in it and learn more about it. And then if you've kind of gotten that part of the funnel, you know, generated, then that will lead to so many leads, which then leads to so many sales. And that's exactly what we've done on a talent acquisition side. If you're an organization, you need to, the kinds of talent that you need to hire to be successful to reach company goal A, B, and C, you would need then a solution that is able to get in front of the right kind of talent, drive awareness that you even exist in the first place, and then drive awareness at scale or this engagement. And, you know, so if we've gotten out in front of these people, then, you know, given them something then to chew on, so to speak. So what is it about my company that is differentiated, you know, that differentiates itself from other competitors? This is the culture we offer. This is what a career opportunity looks like in an organization like ours. So that engagement piece. And then we know if we're doing those parts right, that's going to lead down the funnel to people actually wanting to apply to your jobs, to people actually wanting to talk to your recruiters.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting point that you made, that LinkedIn is a social media platform, not a job board, you know, because that I think, first of all, I would think, number one, that may speak really well to a younger generation, to millennials, right? That knowing that it's more of a social media environment that they are, you know, obviously very versed and comfortable and engaging in, right? Than a standard job board.
Yeah, I think obviously millennials are much you know, quicker on the uptake on how to use these things. They grew up with them. So certainly they're well accustomed, just to using the platforms and putting content out there, and being, I guess, their own, you know, brand advocate. So yeah, they're like a fish to water, where it becomes a little bit of a challenge, from like in the perspective that I'm speaking, is that, at the end of the day, when I'm talking with, for example, you know, the talent acquisition teams, you know, at the end of the day, what they're interested in is they just need to get people in the seats. So there tends to be sort of that binary way of thinking, okay, well, if I just need to hire people, then all these things are just hiring devices, which of course it is, but you ignore your own perils, the other parts I mentioned, which was establishing a brand, and then, you know, not only establishing a brand, but then actually a well-thought-out story behind that will actually then speak to individuals and get them excited to come join you. And this goes for the employees at the organizations as well, right? So one piece of it is what I'm saying. This is, you know, there are obviously products and services we offer to facilitate that. The other side, though, is actually having your employees be those, you know, just organically contribute to that.
So they become your brand ambassadors as well.
Absolutely. It's so key. I mean, think about any company, the network that their employees have are going to be obviously very closely related from both a hiring perspective and also from a business generation perspective. So I don't have the numbers here in front of me, but across the board, organizations that have really engaged employees and that share and like things, absolutely see an uptick in things like sales and even hiring. I do know there's this one metric I've seen before that for every 6 shares or likes from your employees, so just think about a company on LinkedIn. They have a news feed themselves, right? They're communicating. They have a certain number of followers, and those will be made up of company employees plus other people interested in that company for whatever reason. So they put out an update, and let's say your employees just like that update 6 times, then that generally translates into one new follower, and then also, you know, something like three job views. It's all kind of going back, I guess, to that ripple in the pond analogy. But yeah, it's all connected.
Yeah, I think too, you know, what you're talking about as well, especially at a, you know, we're in a place right now of low unemployment where I think people aren't just like looking for, I need a job. And so I think this issue that you talk about as far as LinkedIn as a way that you can understand the culture of this environment as a company, and the company on the other side of it can understand you as a person as a potential fit, even before you actually go through the, perhaps, you know, deep into the application process.
Yeah, that's actually a really great point. So it works both ways, right? Absolutely, companies at this stage will look at your LinkedIn profile. So the LinkedIn profile is not a resume. They can get all the information they want from that. Yeah, so if, let's say you are considering a company, and they already have your resume is going to be a record of accomplishments and whatnot. LinkedIn is not really the place to just put a resume online because it doesn't really speak to you as an individual. And so it's really important, I think, just as we're discussing, is that if you have, you know, if something that stands out, that catches someone's eye, in other words, you know, what is the story you are telling with your profile? And so rather, that's very key to standing out, is not to necessarily just sort of have the bullet points of this is what I've accomplished. You want to have a little bit of that. So potentially recruiters are going to reach out for you. But then the other piece of that is you're going to want to have really, you know, a story. And so the best way to do that is, you know, if you've gone from company A to B to C, you know, why? You know, what were the reasons? I try to do that a little bit on my profile, but that's more impactful than just, you know, making a list of these are jobs I've had and so forth.
Right. Again, yeah, that makes total sense. Well, Jared, believe it or not, we're actually just about out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining. I know. Thank you so much. It goes by fast, doesn't it? Like, where'd the time go? I just want to thank you so much for joining me today. I it was great getting to know Jared 38.0.
and counting.
And counting. Yeah. thanks again. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Carol. Lovely conversation.
You can connect with Jared Bort on LinkedIn. There's only one Jared Bort in the world, so he will be easy to find, so make sure that you reach out to him. You can share your thoughts or comments on Twitter at #WhatsMyTagline or visit the program page on healthcarenowradio.com. Have a topic related to our show you want to hear about, or are you an expert who'd like to be on the show? Reach out to me on Twitter at Carol Flagg or email me at carol@healthcarenowradio.com. Until next time, I'm Carol Flagg, and I want to know, what's your tagline?